So Perek Vav now is dealing with the brachas on food. The 6th, 7th, and 8th prakim of brachas here deal with berachas nenen, brachas you say on benefiting from things. This first chapter will deal essentially with brachas rishonos, brachas you say on food, and then we'll get to benching at the very end. So we start with the question of ketzen mevachen al peros. So how do you make brachas on fruits? You got to ask yourself, who says you have to make brachas on fruits? So the answer is, first of all, the Torah says that v'chalta v'savata v'rachta, you'll eat and be satisfied and bless Hashem. So that's referring to birchas hamazon. Birchas hamazon mitzvah d'oraisa. The Gemara jumps around back and forth. Maybe bracha rishona should be even a kol shekain, but the bottom line is, it comes out as a sfara. So it's only reasonable, only logical to think, if you're benefiting from something or from someone, Hashem's world, it's inappropriate to take from it without saying thank you first. And likens it to me'ila. You know, me'ila is like, it's interesting. Me'ila is, in the Torah, there's different kinds of thievery, let's say. Different words. There's geneva, gazela, and me'ila. Depending on. So me'ila means that you're misappropriating hekdesh, you know, sanctified property, as opposed to regular stealing. So we look at the whole world as la Hashem ha'artum lo, everything belongs to Hashem, but he was nasan l'vnei adam, he gave it to human beings, but only after they make a bracha. Before that, you're using sanctified, the whole world is sanctified, God's property. And so it's me'ila is, by the way, worse than geneva. That's the point, right? Me'ila carries a much more severe penalty.
It's a means to an acquisition.
Sorry?
It's a means to an acquisition. So you're acquiring.
What, me'ila?
No, I'm talking when you...
Oh, the bracha itself.
Based on that...
I mean, I don't know the lumbus of what the bracha does. That's a... Yeah, but... Yeah, but for sure the point is, the Chazal said it's a svara that a person ought to, and they... That's how the source is. So we ask now, so how do you make the brachas? Or what brachas do you make on different things? Al peros ha'ilon, on fruit of the tree, omer berei pri ha'etz. You say berei pri ha'etz? That's familiar, of course. So Mepharshim asks, what's with ilon, which means tree, and etz, which means tree? So the pashtus is that ilon is a Mishnaic Hebrew, meaning tree, and etz is from the Lashon of the Pasuk, the Torah uses the word eitz. It's also very interesting, because you see Ilan, Nos, and Eitz seem jumping around all over the place throughout the Shas. So I saw in the Sefer Carmel, at the Malbim, he said that an Ilan is a mature tree, and the eitz is just a generic tree. So I know it's eitz means this biological creature called what we call a tree. If it's grown up, mature, it's called an Ilan. If it's immature, still it's called a Natiya, which is a fascinating... Like language, it's a fascinating differentiation. It's actually a machlokus tanoim, not right now, but there is not our mesachta here. But there's a bit of discussion about exactly when something. We'll learn it still in Zroim. That's a parsha to itself.
But the mature tree or the immature tree and the generic tree.
What's the difference
in terms of the bracha?
Well, let's just leave it very simplistically and say if it's an immature tree, we'll define it. For a second is before it hits its fourth year, so that's got orla, you can't make a bracha on it at all. So it'd be meduyik in the words, you don't make a bracha on peras nitiya at all, but peras ilan, which are mevugar, who are grown up, then you can say a bracha. But this is like literally semantics, we're playing with the words, but the simple meaning is, you know, for level one understanding of the Mishnah is, on fruits, you say the bracha, excuse me, on fruits from a tree, you say the bracha borei priya eitz.
Yeah.
I'm just pointing out the discrepancy in the language. Okay, so what makes something an eitz? That's a good question, right? So, the pashas lahalacha is it has to have two criteria. First of all, it has to have like we'll call it a woody stem, like a stem, right? Which just lasts year after year. And there's a second criterion, which is that it has to have the branches from which the fruits grow has to be perennial also, meaning that year after year, off the same branch, let's call it, fruits grow again and again. Okay. That's like Rashi's pshat, and that's the halacha. The Rush and others actually say only the fact that as long as the roots are perennial, that's called a tree. So a bit of a nafkmina halacha. But first, halacha lamaisa, we need those two criteria. Has what we call loosely speaking, we might call it a trunk. Although I'm saying loosely because if you look at a grapevine, for example, that woody stem is probably not what you think of as a trunk, but it's there. It's hard, and it's the branch is perennial. As opposed to an example would be a banana. So banana, most, there are millions of thousands of types of bananas and plantains, but most bananas, the way they grow, is their tree, a banana tree, what we would call in our English language tree, right? But halacha looks at it lamaisa is a bush. Because what happens is, it goes, a shoot will come out, and the bananas will grow off that, and then that will die, and a new one the next year will come out. So since the same bananas don't grow off the same, let's call it a branch.
It's also not woody
either. The base
trunk
is pretty woody.
Trunk is 90% water.
Well, I know, but it's permanent. It's permanent. Uh-huh. It's there. It's the year after year. It's, as opposed to other things which die and a new one grows. You know, or we plant wheat altogether or beans. So this, if you ask an English speaker or even a botanist, loosely speaking, they say, yeah, it's a banana tree. Right? It looks like a tree. It sits there year after year. Right. But according to the Rush, for example, who only considers the permanence of the roots, the perennialness of the roots, to be the factor, the bracha on a banana would be a brei pri ha'adama. Excuse me, it would be a brei pri ha'etz. Brei pri ha'etz. Although the halach is, like Rashi and so on, the Shulchan Aruch Maskins, we go with that, we say brei pri ha'adama. Which I guess is lakula if you think about it. Yeah, you were going to say?
Why don't we say brei pri ha'adama?
Good question. So the answer is, I was trying to address it. I'm sorry. That it seems like Chazal, Anshe Knesset Gedolah, wanted to make the brachas with the nusach of the psukim of the Torah. And the Torah refers to it as a brei pri ha'etz in Parshas Bereishis. So we borrowing that language. Okay. Now, chutz min ha'yayin, except the exception is wine. Wine is considered the fruit of the primary, ultimate fruit of the grapevine. Grapes are considered secondarily good. And so wine has a special extra status. So wine, first of all, is considered a fruit. And wine gets special status. Simon Reish Bey says for two reasons. First of all, because it satisfies people. You're eating in moderation, fills you up. So unlike apple juice, which is just a drink, wine has like a satisfying quality to it, filling you up quality to it. And second of all, it makes you happy. So because it makes you happy also, those two things together give it the Chazal thought it should get a special bracha of a brei pri ha'gafen. Yeah, I know my brei pri ha'gafen. There's another, let's call it pre. Pre, I think, would better translate in our context here as produce. Right? Because you'll see in a second, it means also vegetables. There's another pre that comes from an eitz, which is olive oil. Look at the olive oil, it's the ultimate thing that comes out of the olive tree, not the olives. But we don't say a bracha there, brei pri eitz, because first of all, it doesn't meet those two criteria. And second of all, yeah, that's the main reason. Also, if you drink it, you wouldn't even say anything because it makes you sick. It uses a tuffle. Okay. Yeah, very good. So that's.
It seems the two criteria.
Yeah.
Two criteria. Just repeat them, please.
That the trunk stays there year after year. And that it has the branches produce fruit perennially year after year. Not a new branch produced.
The same branches.
Same branches, yeah.
Okay.
If you want to get this, amazingly enough, according to the Rush, who holds all you need is the roots. The roots should be permanently there. So on a strawberry, you would also say brei pri ha'etz, which is wild. That's not the luck, I'm just saying, as a matter of
curiosity. So it's a tree year after year in the same branches.
That's right. You don't replant it, and it grows off the same.
The pineapple is the puzzling one, because that seems to have a big trunk.
Yet
they say, Adama.
I think, because the pineapple, I think, is the second part. I think the branch, it's a new. It must be a more technical term than branch, but let's call it the branch that produces the pineapples, I think, is replaced year after year. It's not the same one. It dies off. And see. Okay? Yeah. Okay. Valperus aretz, and as far as produce of the earth, right now, that will mean anything that doesn't meet the criteria that we just set out before, but yet grows and nurtures itself from the ground. I'm saying that language because the exception would be, say, fungus, right? Truffles, for example, or mushrooms. So those are not considered even peros aretz because they're not nurturing, they're not yonic from the ground. So all kinds of, I'll tell you three kinds of things for a reason. So you might have greens, like a cabbage. You might have like beans, right, legumes like beans. And you might also have like things that we would call, that the Chazal would look at as like peros, like a strawberry or a melon. There's like a fruit that just happens to not grow on a tree. So all three of those things are called peros ha'aretz, and you make a brach on them, brei pri ha'adama. And the answer, it's actually a more difficult answer, but the Mefarshim give a similar answer. Why they change the language here is a good one. It's a better, the question is better than the answer. Peros ha'aretz, brei pri ha'adama, it's difficult. We'll leave it as a kasha. Why they change, but that's the nusach for sure. Now, chutz min ha'pas, there's an exception. We look at pas. Pas means bread. So bread, we look at, is also growing from the ground, of course, but it's processed, comes from one of the five grains, and that has a special status in halacha because that's what sustains, you know, it's a staple food in the Mediterranean and where Jews have been for most of human history. The staple has been, you know, grain products, what we call wheat and lesser degree barley. Other parts of the world, they have other staples. For example,
rice.
Maize, which is the world's biggest staple, and rice. Yeah, but Chazal didn't look at maize as corn is out, and adama. Rice is like a quasi-mazonos, so you know the status you say of mazonos before.
Chazal never saw corn.
Chazal never saw corn, that's right. But for sure the halacha is a very adama, that's for sure.
I'm saying, like,
they never saw corn. Yeah, but indeed, they never saw corn. It's a new world crop. But I'm saying that Bizman Azeh, the largest produced, whatever you want to call it, staple food in the world, is actually, believe it or not, I believe, corn, maize. All of Africa lives on corn, and South America and so, and then rice also. Southeast Asia, and of course, Asia supports themselves on rice. Either way, but they didn't look at those as grains, although rice is like a quasi-grain. We're talking about these, the five, made up of these five minim, the five species, which are wheat, as we're familiar with, barley, also spelt, which you can get in the health food store, oats, like oatmeal, and that's a bit of a, I should point out, it's getting too detailed, but if oats is indeed the fifth, there's like a separate topic of discussion. Oats are like, seem to be quite different. And rye, I should have said oats last, really. Oats is a bit different. That's why, for example, people who have gluten intolerance can go for oats usually. Oats are a little different, but not for now. That's not our topic. We'll discuss it at Pesach, maybe when we talk about matzah. Either way, so things from those five species, if they're produced to the point of being bred, those have a special status in halacha because they support the primary food of life, and that's, we get a special bracha, they're berei havati lechem in arts. They point out, by the way, that the bracha is a little strange for a few reasons. I don't get into all the grammatic details, but one thing, lahalach is, they shtupped in four words at the chasima, so the baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam, hamoti lecha min haaretz. The Gemara says 10 words because there are 10 steps to producing bread. And it's a halacha, you should, when you hold your bread and say moti, you should put all 10 fingers on. And the Chazal made this bracha with 10 words to remember, as a bracha is to have you appreciate that there's a lot of work went into making this bread. There are 10 distinct steps. Like you see there, we'll learn in the seventh parak of Shabbos, Chaz Hashem soon. So, fine, that's a bracha moti. Now, what you would have expected to happen next in the Mishnah is to talk about the bracha mazonos. I'm telling you that because I've seen the rest of the Mishnahs. But there's no mention in the Mishnayos of the bracha we call the bracha mazonos. It's just a question why. Oh, another one of these where the question is probably better than the answer. But I'll insert it, of course, the bracha on things that are made out of those five grains that don't have the halachic status of bread, of pas, so they get a bracha of mazonos, it's a lesser bracha. There's another big machlokas Rishon, what's the difference? That stuff is called pas, literally it's called pas haba bekisnin, bread that comes with pockets, says the Gemara, and there's a big machlokas what defines it, the three definitions. One of them is that you mix the bread with some sort of juice, or sugar, yes, it's a sweet.
You're still in.
I'm now speaking with. I'm missing
Mishnah Aleph, right?
I'm Mishnah Aleph. Yeah, I'm speaking what isn't on the page because all the Mefarshim deal with. Well, where's the bracha mazonos? Like it would have gone here, but it isn't. Why it's not here? I don't know the answer, but I'm just telling you. I'm speaking it out just because they speak it out. So I'm not. Yeah, that the bracha mazonos belongs here. It's a bracha you say on grain products that are baked. Or boiled, but don't have the status of pas, which means either that they were not baked, they're boiled, or that they were baked, but they have kisnin, pockets, literally, and the three opinions of what that is, either it means it's sweet, got a sweetener in it, or that it's filled, like a calzone, you put like a cheese inside of it, it's not called bread anymore, or that it's flaky, it's like a, you know, which is a question, what's with matzah in the first place? Matzah should get a, like by that, matzah would get a mazonos. Also, we'll discuss it. Yeah, it has to be baked filled, that's right. Like, it has raisins inside of it.
No, okay? Which it should be here, but because...
Well, just, I'm speaking out, it's a mystery. There's no, the bracha, we know bracha mazonos. Just, the Mishnayos don't mention that bracha. You'll see, as we go through the rest of the perek, you'll have all the other brachas that everyone knows. Mazonos is just conspicuously absent. I don't know why. The Mephorshim don't really ask the question, you know, stretch for an answer. I'm speaking it out to you. So if things meet one of those three criteria, either if it's crispy, you know, like a biscuit, a cracker, or if it's sweet, like a brownie or a cake, or if it's filled, like a calzone, maybe a pizza, that's that discussion there. So it's not called pas. It doesn't meet our Mishnah definition of pas. You get the lower bracha of prey mine mazonos. Okay? Fine. Now, valha yurakos. Now, yurakos literally means greens. So that means things that grow from the ground, but you eat the actual thing itself, like a cabbage, right? As opposed to a pre, which is, you know, if you have a watermelon, so there's like the green stem, but you don't eat the green stem, you eat the pre that comes out of it, called the watermelon. So here, things you eat the actual, you eat the lettuce, you actually eat the green itself, Omer Brei Pri HaAdamah. The Tanakhama says, it's all the same. Anything that goes from the ground is the Brei Pri HaAdamah. That's, of course, the halacha we're familiar with. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Borei Minei Desham. He says the bracha is Borei, he creates Minei types of Deshaim, Desha, translates usually in the, if you look there in Brachos, as like grasses, okay? I think there's a nice translation that uses it, I think they call it like, in the Hirsch one, they call it
Herbs.
Herbs they call it? Or Rement, I don't know what they call it. It means this. Desha means grass, but not like we call grass. It means like the green stuff that grows out the ground that you eat. Okay? Herbage, maybe that's what they call it. So, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, the machlokus is this, the Chumash says three different kinds of things that grow in Bereishis there, besides for trees. You have peros, like let's say a watermelon. You got yurakos, let's say like a lettuce or a cabbage, or celery. Celery or a parsley. And then you have what we'll call legumes, which is like you eat the seeds of it, like peas and beans. So he says you'd make three different kinds of brachas. If it's a fruit that grows on the ground, like a melon, you'd say Borei Pri, he'd agree, you say Borei Pri HaAdama, because it's a pri. If it was a green you eat directly, then, you know, so then you'd say Borei Minei Deshan. And if it was, not mentioned here in the Mishnah, but they speak out, the Gemara also speaks out, that if it would be eating a legume, you'd say Borei Minei Zroim. So he says each kind of min gets its own bracha. That's, he doesn't want to, because of course bracha there to be appreciate what's there, he wants a high level of specificity, but that's not the halacha.
What were you saying about Bereishit?
Because if you look at the psukim in Bereishit, you'll see that there's three different kinds of things Hashem's creating. Three different kinds of minim. There's zera, and there's peros, and there's yurakos. It's not called yurakos, it's called desha. So he wants three different kinds of brachas. Okay, very good. Mishnah base. So now we're going to have to talk about the halachas of b'dieved. What if you made mistakes? Because there's obviously overlap. So it says, Berach al peras ha'ilan borei pri ha'adama. What happens if you made a bracha on a tree fruit, but you said borei pri ha'adama on it? So then yotze, you're still yotze. The reason why is because it's still...
also from Adama.
That's right, also from the Adama, exactly. Now, however, the converse, al peras ha'aretz borei pri ha'aretz, if you say on a fruit that grew on the ground, the one who creates fruit of the tree... Lo yata, you're not yotzi because it didn't go on a tree. It's not true. Fine. The halacha, I should point out, by the way, this is a technical point, but a halachic important point. If you don't know, because of a halachic suffix, which one it is, so you go lakula and you say Bri Bri HaAdama. If it's, and that's what you're supposed to do. If you don't know, because you just don't know if mangoes grow on trees or bushes, like pineapples, you have to find out. You can't say, oh, I'll say a Bri Bri HaAdama, be yotzi. That's not allowed. If it's there's a halachic suffix,
right.
So then you can get out of your suffix by saying the lakula and saying Brei Pri HaAdama, backing both horses. I guess like a passion fruit. What do you call it? The pasif, like
granadilla.
Granadilla, pasiflora.
That,
well, it could be a machlokas. Like there is a machlokas. I told you, for example, on strawberries and bananas. Machlokas, the rush and Rashi there. Those are big machlokas.
You just don't know.
Yeah, you just don't know. You see, you know, you're sitting there around Tu B'Shvat, and someone gives you this dragon fruit, and you're like, "What the heck is that?"
Yeah.
You can't just say, "Well, we'll say a Brei Pri HaAdama just in case." You're supposed to find out first. Now you got, you know, the blue book. You got all the art school books, and the bonner books, so you can look it up.
Also today, we're very spoiled, and we have much more available. We know about things.
That's right. From year to year, I forget about blueberries. I forget blueberries. They're eights or adama. I always forget.
Right.
So you have to. Anyone remember offhand? See. So yeah. Don't. You can't. You can't risk with the blueberries. You got to look it up.
Ignorant.
Right.
All berries are eights except for strawberries.
Oh yeah.
That's right.
Oh, there you go.
Why do you have to look it up? Why can't you just say
an adama? I'm saying that's not the law. You're not supposed to. If Chazal wants you to appreciate what Hashem did, so you shouldn't just be lazy and say, I'll break your adama. Even though you would be yotzi, but yevet, l'chachil, you're not allowed to just take the easy way out. By the way, you could say Bereimene Mazonos or Shehakol and Biyotzia anything. Always, but you have it. But look, I feel you can't do it. Right. Okay, so, which is actually the next point in our mission, I should say. It says, Val Kulam, on everything, Im Amar Shehakol Niyid Bavaro, if you say Shehakol, that everything Nihiyah comes to be Bidvaro, from his word, then you're Yotzi, that bracha goes in everything. There's actually Machlokas Lahalacha, if it's Nihiyah or Nihiyah, with a kamatz. Okay? So, correct me if I'm wrong, I think by Ashkenazim, most people say Nihiyah, which implies both. Nihiyah means comes to be, which implies both Hashem made it and Hashem made it will make future and stuff. Nihiyah means this thing came to be in the past from Hashem's word. I don't know which Chalakim shall say Nihiyah, but people do. I've heard it before. Do Sephardim? Sephardim across the board say? Okay, so there you go. It's Nihiyah, Nihiyah. Okay. So then you're Yotzi, because everything did indeed come from Hashem, tree and bush alike. Okay, Mishnah Gimel. Al davar she'en gedulim in ha'aretz, something that didn't grow from the ground at all, omer shehakol, on that you say the bracha simply shehakol. Examples, ala chometz, chometz means vinegar, which was wine that went bad. Val ha'novlos, novlos, there's a world of discussion what they are. Bottom line is, they're fruits that fell from the tree before they are ripe, or because the sun scorched them, or they picked them early and they didn't get ripe properly. The point is, they're fruits that didn't make it to how they should have been edible, right? But presumably they're edible in some way. Because everyone jumps on the chometz business saying, what's with vinegar? You can't drink that at all. It's a big problem. I'll see in a second. Val ha-govai. So on these three examples, it gives chometz, vinegar, novlos, what's called the immature fruits that fell off early or picked early. Val ha-govai. Govai are grasshoppers, the kosher grasshoppers.
Locust.
Right? Locust. Sorry, is that corrected? Didn't realize there were biologists in the room. Sorry. What's the difference in a locust and a grasshopper?
One you can eat,
one you can't. Okay. Well, we definitely can't eat all locusts. Some sug of locust, right? Whatever it is. I would like to find out what the sug is. I'll get back to you. Right? So, on those things, the Moroccans eat them. So, So, on those things, Omer Shehakol, those things you say a bracha of Shehakol on them because they're, well, for different reasons. The point of this, the chiddush is that chometz started out being a brei pereitz, and sort of novlos, they lost their status. So they are mentioned here, that since they lose their status, they still get a bracha of shehakol, and govai is mentioned because of the seif of the mission, we'll see in a second, and all the mefarshim jump up and down about what's with the vinegar, and they give good answers, but they're pretty technical to do with how diluted it might be, because there's halachas about drinking vinegar on Yom Kippur, if you chayv or not. Bottom line is, everything else besides vinegar is not a problem. If it didn't grow on a tree, you say a shehakol. Vinegar, if it's going to... The halacha is, the Shulchan Aruch says that no bracha said on vinegar at all because it's damaging to you. And the Mishnah Berurah says, yeah, but that's because it's really strong. But if it wouldn't be really strong and diluted, then indeed it's a shehakol. That's the halacha.
What about premature fruit that is grown intentionally?
Well, is it edible properly like that? Is that normal? If it's a normal way to eat it, and it's not like significantly chaser, like, you know, lacking, it'd be a brei pereitz. I'll tell you a story. Everyone knows what a parsimon is here, right? So,
which?
A parsimon, right? They're great. One of my favorites. So once I was in Milan, and they said, oh, we have a special fruit that we have only here in northern Italy, and you want it? I said, sure, of course. And then I made a shechion on it. It's this very big orange thing that you cut off the top and eat it with a spoon. It's like a pudding. And after I tasted it, I realized, wait a second, this is just an overripe persimmon. And in Italy, they eat them very late, and in Italy, they eat them very early. It's very hard, like a same fruit. So anyways, so on both, I guess it's a brei pereitz because they're both normal. But if it hasn't, you know, picked very early. Okay, fine. Not a halacha shir, there's a million. Hilchos Brachos is a nightmare of complexity.
In other words, there's an opinion of green fig preserved and green and ripe figs. People pick green figs and they make a preserve from it.
That would be a shackle. You know, the halachas of halachas, reish beis and reish beis halachas brachas is like so amazingly complicated. Like, I know this is a Mishnah share. We're not asking the halachah l'maisa, but this is the principle. The principle we're laying out here, what the Mishnah is laying out, is if it's pulled too early and it's not normal to eat it that way, it loses its status of bray praise. The actual what ifs, you'll have to, you know, in America, you used to make a bray priya eitz on ketchup, the pashtas, if you'd eat it with a spoon, if you would. The pashtas, because I'm thinking of the halach kiddush, ask your local rabbi, because most tomatoes in America are grown for salsa, and then after that, they're grown for ketchup. Right? And they're miyuchad. In other words, people that. Sorry? I'm sorry. I meant the brei priya adama instead of a shahakal, even though it's. Peanut butter. Peanut butter, the pashas, the halacha lemaisa, in Eretz Yisrael is a shahakal, and in America, it's a brei priya adama. I think the halacha lemaisa. Because the majority of peanuts in America go to making peanut butter, and here not.
If you buy American peanut butter
here, it's a good question. It's a good question. But not an easy answer. Ask your local Orthodox rabbi. I'm just illustrating. Here, most peanuts go to be American peanuts and stuff like that. As allegedly American peanuts, they eat them as peanuts, right? Everyone eats peanuts here, and peanut butter is not a big thing in America. Every kid, until the peanut allergen scare took over, but every kid lives on peanut butter, and by far the majority of peanuts are grown to produce peanut butter. So the normal way to eat peanut butter is to make it to peanut butter, and not leave it as a raw peanut.
Okay, meaning adama is raw peanut, charcoal would be the peanut butter.
Here, but I'm telling you, there. I'll say it one more time. Sorry, let me make it clear. The normal way, the most normal way to eat a peanut in America is to eat it as peanut butter.
Yes.
So therefore, even peanut butter in America, if you eat it with a spoon out of the jar, you'd say a brei priya adama. Even though normally things that are like nisrat, dissolve and mushed up and lose their tzura, lose their bracha. Even creamy peanut butter gets a break for adama.
So chocolate should really be heights.
Chocolate is a question. Coffee is even a bigger question, I think. But chocolate is a question. But the chocolate, yes, and chocolate is a question. Orange juice is a question. But I think chocolate, they say chocolate is lesser of an issue because chocolate is normal. Chocolate is
sugar.
Is sugar and fat. Although, yeah, but primarily sugar and oil. But yeah, but kasha, there are like 70% cocoa mass chocolates. But my. Even though I'm with you on the chocolate, but the answer is that everyone gave me is even white chocolate is called chocolate and there's no cocoa at all in it. So you see that what makes something chocolate is the mixture, which is row of sugar and fat, sugar and oils. That's the answer to the question.
But if you have like a more natural chocolate bar.
Yeah, it's the chocolate is the answer to the bottom line. But it's a problem. No, you should know that in Bnei Brak, Chazon Ish is like in orange juice. So normally we say by juice you press it and just the zeya, just the pulp. You know, the cellulose of the apple stays behind, and the apple juice flows out. We say that's just called zeyabama. Just it's nothing. It's a shahakal. But when it comes to citrus fruits, what is a citrus fruit if not the juice? They're little cellulose packs, and the fruit is just the liquid, right? So why does you just press out the liquid, which is the fruits? You don't want the cellulose pack, the pulp, and you drink it. So in Bnei Brak, they say a Bnei Brak eats.
Some are made for eating, and some are made for drinking.
That's a separate issue. But I'm just saying, there's a halachic difference between like citrus fruit. The fruit is the liquid. It's a funny one, right? And coffee, I'm also with how else you eat the coffee, which is a dum or an eitz, whatever it is. The way you eat that bean is you grind it up and mix it with hot water. So it should, ostensibly, should be a shahakal. It should be a brei priya adam or an eitz, whatever the actual metzias is. But I don't think anyone says. I think everyone says, they say all drinks are shahakal, end of story. Unless you're a Bnei Brak. Okay, fine. Okay, like I said, Hilchos Brachos is a world. But anyways, back at our Mishnah here. So we're in the middle of Mishnah Gimel still. So now the safe of the Mishnah here has more examples. The Gemara, I believe, doesn't include it, if I remember correctly. But the Mishnah does. Has ala chalav on milk, vala gvina and on cheese, vala beitzim and on eggs, omer shahakol, the bracha shahakol. There ostensibly is no big chiddush here, so what do they say the chiddush is? The chiddush is, you might have thought, since these things come from animals, and animals live on grass, they're really like indirectly grass products. So, no one can get them. They didn't get my smirk on the recorder. That's the answer given. So the chiddush is, you might think that they're Bnei Brak Adama, but they're not. The question is better than the answer. What can I tell you? Okay? Rabbi Huda Omer, Rabbi Huda says, Kol shu min klala, anything that's a min klala, klala is like a curse. Ein mevarchen alav, there's no brach at all. Now, he's referring to the first part of the Mishnah, which talks about three things. Remember? He talks about the vinegar, the novlos, the unripe fruits, unripened fruits that fell off early, or whatever, picked early, and the govai, the grasshopper, the locust. Now, which of those three he's referring to? I didn't, with a pencil, map it out, but I think there's a mefarish to every possible permutation. It's like everyone has got one or two or three out of the list. The issue with each one is govai, either just regular locusts, or maybe they come as a curse to afflict, like, say, in the Makkah in Egypt.
Like we had a couple of years ago, the locust swarm.
Yeah, so the question is, that's like intrinsically like a min klala, or just extrinsically, it's just a, you know, causes havoc. That's the issue there. Vinegar is, well, it was nice and it went bad, so it's like, you know, bad news, that's a klala that befell you, and there's like more like them brachas, right? And novlos is, according to the pshat, that it's sun scorched, like it fell off early for, you know, because of bad weather. Bad weather, excessive sun, caused these fruits to get ruined prematurely. So like that was a klala, it was an accursed crop. Either way, that's the discussion there. Okay, fine. Big Mishnah now. We'll do Makatzer. We'll do one. What's the time here? Yeah, we'll do one more Mishnah Dalet here. Okay. Ha'ilafan of minim harbe. What happens if you have lots of different kinds of fruits here? Okay. Rabbi Huda Omer, im yesh b'neim mimin shiva. If they are from amongst them, one of the seven species. Right. The pasuk praises Eretz Yisrael as a land of seven kinds of things. Right. There are two grains in there, chita and sora, wheat and barley, and there are also five different fruits, which are an olive, a date, a grape, a fig, and a pomegranate. Okay, so those last five we're really talking about of the min shiva. If they're on the fruit platter, one of those five fruits, then mevarach alav, you make a bracha on it, one of those five. And chum say mevarach al eiz min shiyirta. Make a bracha on whichever one you like more. So in other words, if there's dates and apples on the table, if you're an apple kind of guy, you should make a bracha on the apple. The halacha is that if you're going to eat both of them, you make a bracha indeed on the shivas aminim. You don't have to, if you want to eat an apple, there happens to be a date there also, you're not forced to say make a bracha on the date. But if you're going to be eating apples and dates, like say for example you have on Rosh Hashanah night, the appropriate thing to do is to make the bracha on the one of the fruits that Eretz Yisrael was praised with, Ishke Kadima. Now, the mission doesn't discuss what happens if you have to choose between those. So the lacha is that it goes by how closely the psukim mentions the word Eretz twice. The exact pasuk is... There you go. Very good. There's two Eretz. That's right. Very good. So that since the pasuk is Eretz, a land of chita, wheat, seora, barley, vegefen, which is grapes, v'teina, figs, v'rimon, pomegranates, then it says Eretz again. Eretz, a land of zei shemen, olive oil, udvash. Udvash is referring to date honey. So since Eretz is there twice, we say whichever is closer to the word Eretz gets kadima, gets priority. And I have a little mnemonic device to help you, to help me anyways, which is, if you imagine yourself as being a date farmer and you go to the country fair, so it's our date got first prize. Our date got first prize, olive, date, grape, fig, pomegranate. You gotta remember some way, right? So if you don't know the pasuk is confusing because Eretz, Chit, and Sora is like a red herring because that's not what you want. Then the end of the pasuk is Eretz, Zei, Shem, and Udvash, so then you get olives and date. Then it's so confusing. So our date got first prize, olive, date, grape, fig, pomegranate. Okay.
What do you do on bees, honey?
It's a shackle.
Definitely a
shackle. Yeah, no doubt about it.